Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach. Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats and the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Bo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked. Locked on heat, always locked on heat, keep it locked on heat, see geek for the cheap, but today got the heat,
and now, your locked on heat hopes, Wes Goldberg, and David
Let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. We are continuing along with our two-a-days player preview series. We've got Josh Richardson and Wayne Ellington up today, David.
Yeah, a couple of wing players that are expected to make significant contributions, whether they're starting or not. We're going to be looking for them to be putting up some decent numbers there, so I'm curious to see how you break down some of the key categories that we've worked out for our two-a-days here.
Yep, as always, one big stat or number, something to improve on. We're going to do a fill-in-the-blank, a best-case and worst-case scenario. We'll mash up two historical Heat players. I'm ready this time, not like last time.
Excellent.
we'll discuss what we're saying about them in next year's preview. We'll compare them to a chain restaurant, we'll play FTK, and then we'll predict their stat line for the season. Let's start with Josh Richardson. Let's start, David, with your one stat or number.
Well, you know, most of the stats I've been looking at have been positive ones. This one, not so much. It was actually 11. The total number of dunks that Jay Rich had last season. And you think of a guy with his explosiveness. I know he went through some injury issues as well. But he only had 11 total dunks in the season. You kind of, each of them seems memorable to me, and you kind of get the feeling that there's more. But he actually only had 11, and was actually down from 14 in his rookie season, even though he wound up playing more. He had 14 in his rookie season.
Well, he only played the second half, really, I guess.
Exactly. So he played more games, more minutes, and somehow finished with less dunks.
I'm going to bet the over on that. Definitely. I think he's got at least 20 in him this year.
I think so.
I've got...
It's just surprising to me. What was your stat? Sorry.
I've got 3.1, and that's the amount of three-point attempts he allowed personally per game defensively.
Oh, interesting.
While also... And I'm cheating here. I'm going to go with two numbers here. He held opponents to a half percent fewer, or half percentage point fewer than what they would normally shoot. So he was an effective three-point shooter. 3.1, by the way, I should probably give that some context, is not a lot. That's up there with Andre Iguodala is usually in that range. I'll put it that way.
Is that per game? Okay, not per 36 minutes, though, where that number would probably go up quite a bit.
Yeah, so that's per game. So he's and what that illustrates to me is three-point shooting is very much, it fluctuates, right? It's a lot of just kind of, you know, it's a make-or-miss league type thing. So either... You know, that's why somebody like Luke Babbitt can go out and make 2 of 3 three-pointers one night or 0 of 3 three-pointers one night. And there's really no predictable way to figure out what they're going to do. So it's really kind of a luck of the draw. But preventing three-point shots in general, Miami allowed the fewest amount of three-pointers last season, or Utah did. They were in the top two. They allowed the fewest amount of three-pointers in the league last year, which is three-point defense in itself. It's a better measure of three-point defense than just that raw percentage. And Josh Richardson clearly is one of, and you, the eye test bears this out, but the stats also show it, one of the better three-point defenders. What is your one thing to improve?
Well, you know, when we keep talking about a guy like Richardson on this podcast or others, you know, we always highlight his versatility, his length, the fact that he is slated to be a very good defender and a very good scorer as well. But there's nothing else that I could look at that, as far as his skill set that he has to improve. The one thing for him, unfortunately, is confidence. And I think the mental aspect of it is what keeps him from reaching his full potential. We've talked to, well, I remember when we had Ira Winderman on last season, we talked specifically about that. You know, it's just one of the concerns for Richardson. You see him kind of poking at his head when he needs to knock down a shot. You know, he can kind of get himself out of the game a little bit. And so for me, I just want to see him not put that much pressure on himself, and kind of, I think that'll be what he needs in order to reach his potential.
Yep, I agree 100%. When he's confident, he's a different player, right? When he's
absolutely,
when he's feeling good, he can dominate. And we saw that in Miami's first preseason game. He was confident against the Hawks. He dominated that game without even really having the ball in his hands. But I've got ball creation for him. That next step of, there are certain things he can do, right? He's a good secondary or tertiary ball handler. We, even that first preseason game, and I don't want to keep referring back to it because it's a small sample size, but did show that there's been a development, you know, as far as his ball handling and running an offense. He looked better. It was against the Hawks, who will be one of the worst teams in the league, but still, he did look comfortable with it. But as far as those impromptu opportunities that are going to come along in catch and shoot situations where a defender is particularly aggressive and closes out on him, he's already good enough at the straight line drive, which led to a lot of those dunks, those 11 dunks he had last year. But I want to see a little bit more. I want to see a little bit more of some side to side movement with him with the ball in his hand. Maybe making the extra pass when the ball is in his hand, when his defender closes out and he goes to a straight line drive towards the rim, maybe passing and finding an open teammate, improving that court vision, just in general, just a little bit more creative with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I wonder if he's putting in kind of like a mental block on himself. Maybe he would prefer hanging on to the ball rather than risking a turnover. Maybe that's why he doesn't explore those playmaking opportunities as much as he ought to.
Fill in the blank. Josh Richardson will lead the Heat in blank.
Oh, this was a tough one, but I came up on, unfortunately, with missed opportunities. I think I think he's going to be a guy who we're going to continue to look at and say, what's going on? Why hasn't he put it all together? I have hope, but I don't have a lot of faith. And I think there's going to be a lot of times there where he's just going to take himself out of the game, and he's going to lose that confidence, and he's going to miss those opportunities that are going to help him reach the kind of star level abilities that we think he has.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
So do I.
Yeah, I thought that you could go in a variety of directions with this. Either three pointers made, steals, blocks.
I don't think that either. I don't think any of that.
He's not going to lead the team in blocks, but
he's not much of a ball hawk either. I mean,
yeah.
Just maybe it's the number of minutes he gets. As I thought about it, I mean, I really did give it some thought. You know, I'm not just winging it here, Wes.
I know. You're probably
but right. I thought about it, and it's just like, you know, I'm worried about the mental aspect. I keep harping on it, and I just want to see him. I think he's great. I think he's a really good kid. I think he's got a lot of potential, but I just want to see him reach it too. And until he does, I'm kind of waiting and watching, just like everybody else.
All right, quick reminder: make sure that you subscribe to David Locke's Locked On NBA podcast for all of your national NBA news throughout the season. He's got interviews with coaches, scouts, league insiders. Also, check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA team and your favorite NFL team, including Locked On Dolphins.
Woo.
Jay Cutler. Adam Gase coming out and defending Jay Cutler today. I'm not feeling good about that.
No.
It's time. Matt Moore season. The Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
So, next is best-case, worst-case scenario. I've got for Josh Richardson, best case, good J.R. Smith, like 2016 NBA Finals J.R. Smith, where he's defending hounding opponents on one end of the floor, making threes, you know, taking guys off the dribble on the offensive end. That's what I've got for his best case scenario. I also have, like, good KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, written in here. I'm a big fan of KCP. I think the Lakers got a steal this summer. But for more people, I think, are more appreciative of J.R. Smith. So I'm going to go good J.R. Smith. For worst case scenario, I have bad J.R. Smith.
Ah, yes.
When all he's doing is taking three-pointers, not necessarily making three-pointers, and checks out defensively. I don't think Josh Richardson will ever check out defensively.
No.
He seems to hang his hat on that end. But offensively, he could be bad. There could be flashes of bad J.R. Smith where he maybe forces the issue a little bit, makes some mistakes, isn't making three-pointers. So that's what I have for best case, worst case.
It's so funny, though, because we're talking about those best case, worst cases. And in both Smith and Caldwell Pope's case, we're talking about top draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have the same expectations for a guy taking 40th overall.
I mean, he's better than that, right? If they do a redraft, he goes top 20, right?
I'd have to look at it. I know that was a pretty loaded draft.
Top 20. He goes first round for sure.
I'm pretty sure Cam Payne wouldn't go, what was it, 13th, 14th, or whatever. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if Oklahoma City had the chance, they'd probably take Jay Rich over Cam Payne. Even though I understand that Cam Payne filled the need, I don't think that's the case.
Well, he was supposed to. He really didn't.
Right.
Historical Heat player mashup. This used to be our compared to a Heat player. We switched it up to historical Heat player mashup. So two players in Heat history that you're going to combine parts of to make Josh Richardson. Who do you have?
Well, I kind of followed the your best case, worst case thing in that when I came to my player comps, I looked at Eddie Jones. That's a comparison that we've made on a number of occasions. And mm-hmm. I think physically it works out very well. Mm-hmm. I think there's the upside offensively where he can match a guy like Eddie, who was a very smooth scorer. But Jones was also an underrated defender, and I think Richardson certainly fits that case. But the worst case scenario, he could possibly be a Daquan Cook, you know, a guy who was known for his shooting, who had the right tools physically and everything else, but just wound up never really putting it together. So when I looked at the comparisons there, it was, again, kind of like a best case, worst case scenario when in Heat historical context.
So I put Eddie Jones as well. We've made the comparison 1,000 times. And Dwayne Wade. And I'm taking Dwayne Wade's shot blocking. I'm taking that disruptive defense he has, weak side blocks, the steals that and the steals that would lead to fast breaks in offense. I'm taking that part of Dwayne Wade's game. So not all of Dwayne Wade, I want to be clear. I'm taking that and I'm combining that with Eddie Jones. And that to me is what Josh Richardson's best case scenario could be. But I like Daquan Cook at the low end, right? Daquan Cook was an okay player, but he didn't live up to the hype or his potential. So I've got Wade's disruptive defense plus Eddie Jones.
That's a good mashup there.
What are we saying during our 2018 preview, David?
Can Josh Richardson make the All-Star team?
That is exactly what I have written down here. That's awesome.
Wow.
I'm right there with you. I'm high on Josh Richardson, man. I know he's going to lead the team in missed opportunities this year, but I am really, really high on Josh Richardson. I think this is the year where he steps up his game, where he you know, for his rookie year, he didn't play the whole season because he was a rookie, but he played in the second half and impressed. And then in his second year, he was obviously hurt several times and didn't get to put a complete season together. But those last 13 games, he was spectacular. He looks great in training camp and in preseason. I'm really high on him. I think he's got all the tools. He's going to have the opportunity. I'm actually loving the idea of him coming off the bench now, even though it was all in him starting. I think his versatility coming off the bench, it's going to allow him to do a lot of different things. I like that. I really like where he fits there. And he's going to start putting it together. It'll be, I think, his most consistent season this year. And like you said, in 2018, this time next summer, we will be asking, can he be an All-Star?
That's awfully optimistic. I don't know, man. I'm kind of torn about the starting thing because, honestly, maybe Spo sees some chemistry there with Justice Winslow that he doesn't want to break up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the flip side of that where he could be starting Magruder kind of to, like, I guess, I don't know, try to inspire or piss off Richardson a little bit. Maybe he'll work a little bit harder if he feels like starting is a goal that he wants to achieve. I mean, only Spoelstra knows for sure what his reasons are. I'm a little surprised because apparently we're getting reports out of today's training that the starting unit, or rather the unit that he fielded out there, was the starting unit we saw the other day against Atlanta. So
right with Magruder,
seems that that's likely going to be. Yeah.
I think it's because Magruder is a catch and shoot type player. His defensive ceiling is clear, right?
Yes.
But he doesn't need the ball. He does his best work without the ball. He's one of Miami's best players on the catch and shoot situations. And it's maybe the only way to get him minutes, you know, and Miami's 10 or 11 players deep. And if I could see Magruder playing, you know, 18 to 20 minutes a game at that position, starting those games, but not necessarily finishing games.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, but I like Richardson because he could play anywhere between the one and three. Magruder can really only play that weird three guard position, even though he's probably projects more as a two guard in the future. Right now, he doesn't have the ball handling skills to be a backcourt player. So
yeah.
Let's go with the chain restaurant. What chain restaurant do you have for Josh Richardson? I had a hard time with this one.
Yeah, so did I. But I kind of ultimately went with Payway.
Okay.
I'm not sure how
interested.
Yeah, Payway. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with it. But to me, I always put it in context of Payway is kind of like P.F. Chang's little brother. It's a subsidiary, yes. I guess, of the P.F. Chang's corporation. And so to me, when I look at Jay Rich, I can't help but think of the Rook 2 moniker in conjunction with Justice Winslow. And I think they're forever linked in that sense. Rook 1 and Rook 2, they have a great friendship off the court, you know, a great chemistry on it. And so you look at P.F. Chang's, obviously that's the restaurant that people go to, they flock to. It's highly, you know, a lot of people love P.F. Chang's.
Those lettuce wraps.
It's just not my cup of tea, I'll be honest with you.
I'm not a big P.F. Chang's fan either, to be honest.
I was disappointed. However, Payway, really good, really quick, much cheaper than P.F. Chang's.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more vegetarian options, a lot more spicy options. I like Payway a whole hell of a lot more than I like P.F. Chang's at this point. And so to me, I like Josh Richardson more than I like Justice Winslow, too. So that's why I went with Payway.
So I'm a big fan of Payway because there was one across on University Drive, right across, just a 3-minute drive from UCF.
Yes.
And we used to go there all the time because you're right. You walk in, you can get some decent Asian. It's better than Panda Express, right? You're never sure quite what you're eating at Panda Express or just how long it's been there. And
right. And
so I avoid Panda Express like the plague, also accepting sponsorship partners.
Yes. But yeah. We're not thumbing our nose in any chain restaurant whatsoever.
Great. Everything's cooked right there. You can see the kitchen. That's important. I like it.
Yeah.
I've got Burger King.
Oh.
Yeah. You did Burger King earlier in one of our two a days. I can't remember who you did for Burger King.
Neither can I. I'm thinking about it now. Wow, that's a tough one. Let's see. Oh, Adebayo.
Oh, that's right. So I've got Burger King because earlier this year, Burger King had a commercial that if you had a Google Home, which is like Google's version of the Amazon Echo of Alexa, if you had a Google Home near your television, then the Burger King commercial turned on your Google Home. It like said something like, Google, tell people about the Whopper. And then the Google just started like word vomiting things about the Whopper and people were just getting like pissed off. But when you're in advertising, a word that you love to use and what you're chasing is disruptive, right? And that to me is Josh Richardson on the defensive end. Disruptive. He's screwing up whatever the opposing team is trying to do offensively. He's just coming right through with those big long arms, knocking the ball away, leading a fast break or turning into transition points. That's what he is. Plus Burger King, a little bit of swagger there. They've got that king guy. They've got the crowns. They're not the best at what they do, but they don't really seem to care. They're just kind of like, we're just going to do it anyway. And that to me is Josh Richardson. He's not the best player on the team. He's not even the starting guard. But it, I don't think he seems to care all that much. He's got a certain swagger about him. He's like, this is what I do. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm the king here. That's it. So that's to me, he reeks of Burger King.
Well, you know, another aside there, BK based out of Miami, so.
Perfect. All right, FTK, what do you got?
He's a keeper. I think it's obvious, considering the extension that they just gave him. I think he's going to be part of Miami for a long time. Hopefully he'll live up to that contract, but for now, it seems obvious that they want to build around a guy like that.
I've got keeper, too. His extension kicks in next season, too, which makes it really hard for him to trade this year. It's slightly like a poison pill contract. So for now, in the short term, he's absolutely a keeper. And by next year, I think that, you know, some people were turning their nose up at that $10 million per year, you know, extension. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a bargain in the long run. And I think you're going to have to keep him on that sort of deal. What are your stat predictions?
I've got him at 13 points per game, 2.5 assists. And I just rounded it up to 3 stocks, which is a combination of steals and blocks, because I think there'll be days when those active, disruptive hands will lead to a couple steals. But then, as we saw in preseason, I think there'll be days where he'll probably have a high number of blocks as well when he just gets the better of smaller opponents. So I just had 3 stocks overall.
I've got 3 stocks as well. I've got 3.5 assists. You had 2.5?
I did, yes. I think those numbers will go down a little bit.
Yeah, I've got 3.5 assists because I think he's going to be asked to do a little bit more ball creation. And I have his points coming down a little bit to 12. So,
see, we're thinking differently then, I guess. Yeah, because I think he'll score more.
Yeah.
And playing alongside Justice, he'll be the primary ball handler. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll get more assists.
I think, based on my math, I think I have him just trading one shot for an assist a game compared to yours.
Fair enough.
But I agree. I've also got him at 6 3-point attempts per game.
That's a lot.
So that 12 points might need to go up, actually. I have him shooting 41%.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're very optimistic.
I'm really high on Josh. I think this is his year. I really do. His stroke looks good. I love the braids, which I know you disagree with me on. All right, let's move on to Wayne Ellington. What's your one stat or number on Wayne Ellington?
I was going to go with one, like, worst nickname ever, the man with the golden arm. Are we coming around on that? I know friend of the program, Eric Reed.
No? We have to have him back on just to, like, ask him about why did you do this? Why?
Well, I think, and I don't know, golden arm, that's like a football reference, right? A quarterback reference.
Yeah, and I think of 007 video games.
Man with a Golden Gun, that was a 007 movie.
Yeah, and then GoldenEye was the video game.
Goldfinger.
Doesn't roll off the tongue. Yeah, Austin Powers. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. But man with the golden arm. Like, no, that's not right. Wasn't Batman there for a little bit? Bruce Wayne, Wayne Ellington. I like Batman. Batman's good. So, all right.
I didn't hear that one, but that's not the stat I picked. Actually, I picked 114. His offensive rating, a career high.
Last season?
Yes.
I've got 10. That's the amount of threes he took in the first preseason game, and I want that to continue. Just chuck him up. 10 threes a game. What do you have one thing to improve?
Strangely enough, his three-point shooting. I want him to be more consistent. I know they're asking him to do a lot coming off of screens, and that adds a different dimension to his floor spacing because obviously defenses have to compensate. But if he gets those opportunities, and particularly if he's going to put up the kind of shots that we think he is, he needs to be able to knock those down at a higher rate. He shot just 37% last year, albeit on a career high number of attempts per game, but I want those numbers up.
I've got keep getting better defensively, which is an easy one, but I also wanted to mention that similar to Josh Richardson, I'd like to see him maybe get a little bit more creative with the ball. Not to a detriment, I'd like him to keep shooting 10 threes a game, and as you said, do it consistently.
Right.
But if attacking those closeouts, putting the ball on the ground, just being more versatile offensively could help him. What's next? Fill in the blank?
Blank
benefits the most from Wayne Ellington.
I put Justice Winslow would benefit the most from Wayne Ellington because I think Winslow, as much as we're high on hearing him talking about his shooting and acknowledging that it needs work and hearing very positive reports that he's got a much better stroke this season. I think the reality is that his game is probably still going to be best suited for a playmaking role. And what better to be able to create those plays than having a knockdown shooter on the perimeter? So a guy like Winslow can benefit by having Ellington continue to go around those screens, work his way around the court, and finally freeing himself for a great open three-pointer. And that's when Winslow can make the most of those playmaking abilities, that passing ability, and to find Ellington on the perimeter.
Wellington could be a nickname. Beef Wellington? You start calling him Beef? I'm doing
beef
it.
Beef Wellington.
Just Beef for short. People will figure
Wayne
it out.
Beef Ellington. Yeah, okay. I like it.
Just Beef. All right. So for Beef, I think you're absolutely right.
Well, he has put on some muscle mass. I think I saw one of those pictures of, you know, the Heat always loved the sweaty locker room montage of training and fire and, you know, all sorts of oiled up bodies and stuff like that. I think there was a photo I saw on Twitter of Wayne Ellington, and he looked kind of jacked up, to be honest with you. A guy who was somewhat soft when he was with Brooklyn and everybody else, and he kind of beefed up a little bit. So Beef might be right. Best case, worst case scenario.
So for my best case, I put last season Wayne Ellington.
Ooh, that's a low bar there.
For best case? I thought he was good last year.
He was good, but you'd want him to be better, right? You don't think,
best
you think
case,
that's his ceiling?
Slightly better than last season Wayne Ellington.
Okay. Worst case, Brooklyn.
All the other Wayne Ellingtons. All of the other Wayne Ellingtons. historical Heat player mashup. Who do you got?
Ray Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an obvious one. And mm-hmm. Eddie House.
Ooh, Eddie House. Why did you? So I also want Ray Allen and someone else. But why Eddie House?
Eddie House, just because he's a guy who would keep putting up shot after shot after shot after, even after those weren't necessarily falling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a guy that he was basically reduced to that, just that one skill there. And I think that's what Wellington, Wayne Ellington, Beef. That's where Beef keeps is most efficient as a 3-point shooter. But I mean, I think he needs to be a little bit more dynamic. We don't want him being just that single minded as far as his offensive output.
Yeah. I went similar. I went Ray Allen just because of the way he comes off screens, his size. We don't talk enough about Beef's size, 6'6", good size. I got Vashawn Leonard. Another like kind of bit player, a little bit bigger of a role than bit player. That might not be fair. But he took 4.8 3-pointers a game, and he shot at basically 40%. I expect...
Right. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I expect Beef to just shoot a bunch of threes.
You're going to really stick to that, Beef.
100%. I don't care. That's for the rest of the season. That's happening.
I remember Vashawn Leonard doing nothing but shooting threes, and you say he just shot 4.8, and it's like... That just goes to show you how much the era has changed. Like, guys that 50 minutes per game shoot 4.8 3-point attempts.
I thought for sure that was going to be at like 6.
At least.
Now, there might have been years. That 4.8 was his total Heat career. So, there might have been years where he shot more than that. There probably were.
I think so. But, at a bench.
Yeah. All right. What are we saying during our 2018 preview?
Signing him to a 3-year deal wasn't such a bad idea. I expect him that he, you know, this is the last year of his deal. I think he'll enter free agency, and I think he'll have found a home here at just 29 years of age for a shooter, a guy who's getting into the best shape of his career. I think there's longevity there, and I think he continues to provide that kind of function as a 3-point shooter off the bench. And they'll sign him to a 3-year deal, let's say for about $12 million. I don't think that's a bad deal.
I wonder if they'll have the cap room to even do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not Andy Ellisberg. I'm not worried about the math for now.
I've got who will replace Wayne Ellington.
Ooh.
Who's going to replace the Beef? I don't.
Where's the Beef?
Where's the Beef? yeah, I don't see them having the cap room to bring him back. I think that's the reason why you bring in Matt Williams, and why it sounds like he's going to be the two-way player, that second two-way player. I think that's somewhere with someone like Rodney Magruder could fill in. This might be Wayne Ellington's last year in Miami. All right. The best part. Chain restaurant.
Chain restaurant. I went with one that is known for just one thing, and that's Wingstop. I think they're known for just their wings. That's all they do. They've got a bunch of different flavors.
How dare you?
It just gets down to wings, and they're damn good ones too.
How
you know,
dare they, you. The sweet seasoned fries are just worth a trip.
Those, you know,
the sugar seasoned fries, so good.
Okay, See, well, okay, so that's let's say that's his defense. You know,
Beef's defense. Got it.
Now that we're calling him Beef, I should have gone with, like, I don't know, like a burger joint or something like that.
So I've gone to Wingstop several times,
like today,
this year. I've probably been. So I'm at a point. This is my confession on Locked On Heat. I've probably gone to Wingstop, no lie, 30 times this year.
Okay.
That's a lot. It might be more.
I'm type situations. Are you watching a big game and saying, let's load up on wings? Or is it like, I just feel like hanging out with wings?
No, I just lazy dinner. Like it's around the corner. You can order online like most places now. So I don't have to talk to anybody.
Is that really a thing?
What?
Is that really a thing that you want to order online so you don't have to talk to anybody?
Well, so the problem with Wingstop in general, also accepting sponsorship deals, is that the one near me, at least, they only have like one person working the register. So you call, and before you could say anything, they say, can you hold? And you're like, yeah. And you're on hold for like 5 minutes. So you've already wasted 5 minutes out of your possible order is ready time, right? So you go online, you punch it in, it's done. Nobody puts me on hold. It's all fake, and it remembers my order, it remembers my credit card. I don't have to take my credit card out when I get there. It's perfect. So,
no charge for online ordering.
No charge for online ordering. I go and pick it up. I'm probably going to switch to Uber Eats though, or something like that, because I'm starting to like get anxious before I walk. It's been this bad. I've ordered from Wingstop so many times this year that I get nervous that they're going to know me and judge me when I walk in. Like, oh, this guy again, especially because I have like a really weird order there and I think they judge me for it.
Okay. This I got to hear. What is your weird order at Wingstop? How weird could it possibly be?
So you could customize your wings, right? Like you could say how many, but you could say what flavors you want.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be 50-50.
Okay.
So I do 7 original hot and 3 lemon pepper.
Okay.
Shouts out to Giannis. His favorite Wingstop flavor is lemon pepper.
That's the weird order? That's not that weird, man.
I'm 7 and 3. I think they call me 7 and 3 guy. Every time. It's weird for Wingstop. I mean, it doesn't really get weird. It's not like I'm ordering a
one of each. Yeah. So I get anyway. 10 wings, one of each for different flavor.
I didn't need to hijack the whole thing and tell you how I'm addicted to Wingstop.
No, I know that's all fine. I think I've worked food service before. I can tell you that they don't care about regular customers. I think it makes it easier for them to know you're 7 and 3 guy.
Yeah, but they look at me funny.
No, that's just you being insecure.
That's probably right. I've got Domino's.
Okay.
Because the only time you order Domino's is when you're ordering 3 pizzas at a time. It's the 5-5-5 deal. That's the only reason to order Domino's. 3 pizzas at a time. Pizzas in threes. Wayne Ellington scores points in threes. Wayne Ellington is Domino's.
Okay. I like it. Right. I haven't ordered Domino's in about 20 years, but sure.
I haven't ordered them since college, and I had 2 roommates in college. The math was perfect. All right, filler, trade bait, or keeper. By the way, Domino's with the garlic crust really stepped up their game when they
really.
Yeah, when they introduced the garlic crust, they took the crown from Papa John's and Pizza Hut. It wasn't even an option. They're the best one out of all of them. Filler, trade bait, or keeper.
He's a trade bait. Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately with his salary right now, it's fairly reasonable. Mm-hmm. He provides a valuable asset as far as 3-point shooting is concerned. Easy to move. You include him with another player if you want to make a move. Trade bait.
100%. I think I've got written down here, lumped in bigger deal, ? Like that's the kind of player he might be. Stat predictions.
Stat predictions, yeah. I've got him shooting 39% on 3-pointers this year. A little bit of an improvement from last year. Fortunately, I also have him taking just 5.8 3-point attempts, down from the 6.4 he took last season. So although I think both of us are in agreement that he should take more, I think with Miami's depth in the backcourt, I just don't think he's going to have as many opportunities as he did last season.
I've got 6.5 3-point attempts a game. So even from last year, basically. I've got it at 38% because I got him shooting a few more attempts than you do. And I've got it at 9 points a game. Which he shot 10 points. He scored about 10 points a game last year.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, that's it for this 2-a-day. Our last one is coming up later in the week. We'll do Justice Winslow and O'Kara White, and that'll wrap it up. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Reminder to send us your mailbag questions for next Monday. You can send those to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or tweet them using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and we will find them. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.